Thank you, Justices. Grant Teeple for Petitioner. I'll be using about 6 minutes in my opening comments, and I'm going to try to reserve three or four more. Hopefully it doesn't take all that time. It's a pleasure to be able to have argument in this case. It might have made a difference if we'd had argument, hopefully, at the district court level. We weren't afforded that opportunity. It was ruled summarily on the papers. Before this lawsuit began, my client was buying databases from the Patent Office, the exact same one we're seeking to get access to now. The database is a mountain of database, and that's really the analogy I like to use, as a mountain.
Let me ask you before we get to the mountains. When your client was buying these databases, did they exist in the Patent Office? In other words, the Patent Office had compiled the database, correct?
Correct.
And then under the Freedom of Information Act, you asked for the database?
No, this was before the Freedom of
Information. Okay, but however you got them, it existed.
Correct.
The department had already compiled the database.
And we want that. What we're seeking here is exactly what we were buying before.
Wait a second. So you bought it from the Patent Office before?
Correct.
When did it stop? Did you stop being able to purchase it from the Patent Office?
Well, to this day, we could still buy a database, but not the same one.
No, but the question I'm focusing on, and I think the same one Judge Wardlaw is asking, maybe I'm wrong, is there existed a database in the Patent Office at some point in time, and you were able to acquire that, correct?
Correct.
At some subsequent point in time, the Patent Office stopped creating that database. Am I correct?
Yes and no. You can still buy
You can't buy the database you used to
buy. Can't buy the same one.
Okay, fair enough.
So the difference is, and I think this was in 2010, was they took out the patent holder's information, name, and address. They took it out.
Yes, and they called us and we talked to them. It's all in the record. And said, we're doing this for privacy reasons.
And okay. What's the privacy reason? What's the privacy interest that's being protected here?
Well, I don't believe there is one, because that's not, I think even respondents admit in this case that they're not asserting any sort of privacy defense. But that was the reason in the beginning we weren't able to get the information. That was what we were told. So then a lawyer
I know they said privacy concerns, but if you're a patent holder and you have to register and you file with the Patent Office, they have to know who you are. People have to know who you are so that they know, you know, if they're infringing your rights or if they want a license or how to get to you. I mean, how do people find out who the patent holders are?
Well, in the old days, before the privacy rules came into place, you could look on the databases. Nowadays, you can't find out who you are unless you already have a patent number or some other.
But the question I'm focusing on for you, and I just want to make sure, because we're dealing here with a Freedom of Information Act request,
yes,
which, as I read the statute, entitles you to get documents from the agency. Correct?
And electronic documents.
You can get documents in electron form or in paper form.
Correct.
The agency doesn't have this document anymore. It used to create this document, and it used to be there for you to obtain, but it doesn't have the document you want anymore. It doesn't make it.
That's not the facts of this case.
But sure it is.
No.
Sure it is. Are you telling me that the agency has the very document you want and is refusing to produce it?
Yes.
Where is that in your complaint?
Because, Your Honor, it's a database that when we – may I?
Oh, no. You see, don't – we all understand the facts of the case, so don't shuffle
on me.
Wait
a second. No, I want to hear the answer to the question, though.
Go ahead,
I'm trying to understand.
Go ahead.
See what he says, and then you can attack him.
Whenever we buy data from a county or a city or whatever it is, my client buys all kinds of data. When you come, you tell him what you want, and then their guy goes to his computer and says, give him this, 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 and this, charge him so much, send it off.
Precisely. So, we're saying the same thing.
So the database of all this information existed then and now today that we're seeking.
What we deal with in the Freedom of Information Act, and this is one of my difficulties with the case, is to make records available for inspection. So what record do you want to be made available for inspection?
The same one that they were selling us before.
But they don't have that anymore.
Yes, they do.
They have information from which it can be produced. But they do not produce that record anymore, correct? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. They would just hand it to
correct,
you.
Correct.
Okay. But not producing
it doesn't mean they don't have it, just
no,
so we're clear.
No, they have the information. They don't have the document, right?
Very fine.
Okay, fair enough. So that what I'm – and I'm not trying to attack you. I'm trying to find out – so your position is that the Act requires them to compile information for you rather than simply produce records.
Right. It's already compiled, and, yes, they have to give it to us.
Well, it's not compiled in the form you want.
That's true.
Right. So they have in their various computers information from which they can compile what you seek.
And, Your Honor, it is made available, if I may just have a moment, we were talking about this being a mountain of data.
Right.
And when I have that mountain of data, I can look at the mountain. I can see the ridges and the crevices and the rock formations and where the rocks, certain types.
No,
of, but if I may, if
no,
I may.
But no, please, because I need to understand this.
Okay, your position.
Your position is that they are required to produce that data for you rather than a record, correct?
And if you give me just one rock from the mountain at a time, that I have to go through a website and answer how many hairs the Spider-Man have as a security question to get in. And if you only give me one rock of the mountain at a time, that's not the same as having the mountain of the data.
Absolutely, I accept that. Okay. So you don't have to convince me of that.
I'm
asking a very technical question, which is that you view the requirement that records of the government be produced, which is the requirement in FOIA, as requiring them to take data that they have and give it to you even if it isn't in a record yet.
Well, it is in a record. It's in the PAR system. They admit that. They can see that. It's there.
No, it's there. I know it's there. We all concede it's there. We're talking past each other. It's there in their computers.
And it's there for you to log in and
right.
see.
Right, and so somebody who could log in and seek.
One at a time. Right.
Your argument is, and it may be correct, but I just need to understand it, that they're required to compile that and give it to you rather than simply give you whatever records they chose to make.
Yes, and I think that's the law, too. I was just looking, and I'll grab my authority, but I think that the government actually, when you look at the legislative history, the government's actually required to enhance and do what it can to help the public have access to the data.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I needed to understand your position.
Yeah. And in a way, Your Honor, that's really essentially in a way what I think that the district court didn't appreciate. I don't think that they appreciated that there's a difference between a data point and a database. It's like
so now I need to understand this, because what I understood from the history of this is that the data all exists, but the government can answer this for me too, but that at some point in time, certain information from this database was removed. It's still there, but I almost thought of it as a redaction for privacy concerns. But it's still there. They could still produce it because it's all in the same database. Is that correct or not?
It's still there. They're just not offering it for sale. You're exactly right.
Not offering it for sale. But this is FOIA, so this is like not. It has nothing to do with
sale. We're not dealing with.
But I understand. But the point is, it's still there. We know it's there. They concede it's there.
Right, so, but just.
I'd like to make sure I save a minute too.
I know, but
thank you.
And I think Judge Wardlaw will probably accommodate.
Yes.
Thank you.
I've used a bunch of your time.
Thank you.
But. The government, and put aside the legal question in this case, just so that we understand, for periods of time, you could go to the government and say, I want to buy this document or in electronic form, and it had all the information you wanted. And at some point in time, the government stopped making that document, to use it in colloquial terms. And you say, we'd like them to make it again. Fair?
Yes.
Okay.
Could I ask you a question to the extent that you're relying on the legislative history? Isn't it true that what Congress is concerned about is production of information that discloses how an agency or the government is being run? And the difference to me is if you had made a request for all of the documents that led them to this decision, absolutely, you would be entitled to it because it would tell you exactly how the agency operated and made a decision. But what you want is not to know how the agency is run. you want information so that you can conduct the business and try and sell or approach people who own patents who may or may not want to hear you about a service that you're prepared to sell them. That, to my mind, has nothing to do with how the U.S. Patent Office is being run, that kind of use and disclosure. And I don't, I think there's a, there, as I said, the difference is between asking them for, give me the documents as to how you made this decision and give me this.
I agree with your recitation of the law. I disagree with your conclusion. When we have this data, when we have this big database, this mountain of these rocks, my clients can do amazing things in terms of looking at just what you're talking about. How is the patent office operating? How is it issuing? When is it issuing? When is it not issuing? Where is it issuing? Where is it including? This is, in fact, Your Honor, this is some of the most valuable stuff we're getting from that analysis, is knowing how they're operating.
But you're not, in this case, attacking the agency's decision to, in effect, disaggregate this information. I mean, they may have done it through regulation. It may have been illegal. It may have been a bad decision. This is a FOIA case.
Correct.
The legality or wisdom of their decision to stop producing this document is not in front of us, is it?
It's not.
Okay.
In fact, I think they can see that in their papers.
So in their privacy statement, they say the inventor's name, city, and state will be listed. Are you getting that?
I apologize. I just couldn't hear you.
In their 2010 announcement of the change, they said they're going to list the inventor's name, the city, and state. Are you getting that information?
I'm just not hearing. I'm just not hearing the question. I apologize.
Am I not being loud enough? Okay. The policy statement about removing certain information for privacy concerns.
Yes.
Said that they were going to list the inventor's name, city, and state, but not their address. And my question is, are you getting the inventor's name, city, and state?
Are we getting it currently?
Yeah.
No, we're currently out of business. Wait. I mean, we're not marketing to anybody.
Did you get it in response to your previous FOIA request that
No.
you're now complaining about?
No.
Why not? That was
our request was denied in total. We got nothing on the request.
So that now I'm not understanding. I thought you got some partial version of what you had been receiving in the past.
We are able with our own resources to go and find some of that information, but I am not mindful that after the request they sent us something with just those items.
You want street addresses is what
I want,
you want.
Right, we need to be able to mail them.
But that's what this is all about, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So and you're saying they would produce everything. They wouldn't produce the street addresses.
Names and street addresses, zip codes, they will not produce.
Right, but they would give you the name and city of the
Unless I want to, if I happen to know the patent number, I can go in the PAIR system, go through the security, and then I can get some of that information. Okay. And that's our position, is that it's that's the position that they rely on, that it's available, that I can go look at one stone in the mountain at a time. It would take us 10,000 keyboard operators working 2 years around the clock, which would be prohibitively expensive and burdensome, to even come close to being able to, if we actually had to technically, theoretically, rebuild the mountain. This case really is a difference between a database and a data point, when I think as you really think about it. And we're looking for this unique thing that is the database that we've been sold previously. We're not asking them to give us a new format. We want them to do just what they're doing before, and frankly, what they're willing to do now. But they're just omitting a couple important variables.
And I just want to be sure, what are they, assuming you go through the hoops, what can you get? You can get you have the patent number. You can get what with that?
There's a bunch of variables that come in this database. Name, type of patent, when it was filed, when it expires. Who the different inventors are that are listed. There's a plethora of information that statisticians and guys with algorithms love, and it allows them to predict how and who to address services to.
But you're not contending, and I know we've taken you over, but I want to make sure again, you're not contending that this information, that if you got each individual rock, you wouldn't have all this information, right?
If you give me all the rocks at once...
No,
I have it.
Right. No, but I'm saying if you, Each rock in which the information is embedded is available to you if you can simply identify the rock.
I believe that's their position, and as far as I understand, that's right.
And that's correct.
Right.
You're complaining is you shouldn't make us.
But a data point, one rock is not a mountain. They're just not the same thing. We were buying the mountain. We can't see the cliffs and the crevices.
The analogy starts to break down because I can't find rocks and mountains.
Well, I was trying. My wife said I should use the cars and say, you can have the tire and the thing, but you can't drive it unless they're all together. And that's having it all together is really the value.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Caroline Prime, and I represent the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. There are a couple of clarifications I'd like to make. The addresses of the inventors are currently available in the public PAIR system. It is true you have to look up each file individually.
Right, and that's what I'd understood the argument to be, that his problem is I can get all the information I want, but I have to look at each patent to get it, and I used to be able to get from you handy-dandy database in which all this information
precisely,
was
precisely, yes. There used to be a bulk data product for sale that included addresses of inventors.
So help me with that bulk data product. Sure. Did you have to create the bulk data product?
My understanding, and again, the record, our record is so small here, it doesn't go into that. The Patent Office does create various bulk data products, and the only change in 2010 was that they took out the street address.
So it no longer creates the bulk data product that
that's correct. That's
that
my
this
understanding.
Company used to buy from you.
That's my understanding. Is that it does not exist, and it's a matter of the Patent Office just not releasing it. It's not an existing record.
But you are not refusing to release any existing record of the Patent Office. In other words, you're willing to sell the bulk data sell or release under FOIA. I don't know the bulk data product you now produce.
The current bulk data product. That is being released, that is available, has the majority of this information except for the street address, including patent numbers, that sort of thing. The patent numbers themselves, there's, again, if there are several databases that the office provides. There is a separate database open to the public called the Patent Full Text and Image Database, and that has more than 50 fields of inquiry. For example, you can do a search of patents issued between January 1st, 2002 to December 31st, 2002. Press enter, and you'll get a list of approximately 182,000 patent numbers.
Could you find the addresses from that?
So the addresses are, my understanding is that they're not in that database, but with that patent number, you could go into public PAIR and get the appropriate address for that patent.
Let me ask you a question. In terms of your denial of the FOIA request, the agency said that because these files are indexed and open to public inspection pursuant to Section 552A2, they are not available in response to a FOIA request. So I guess my question was, this goes back to the old reading room requirement. I mean, could his client go to the patent office and go look at the files and get all the names and addresses in from the office?
I believe there still is a reading room. I think, again, it would be sort of a file by file. It wouldn't be the aggregate information that he's looking for sort of data mining.
So what's your understanding where the office is, and you didn't write this, Tracy Alexander wrote this, when she says this information is publicly available for inspection? What does that mean? How is it publicly available?
It is, and the position of the office is that the public PAIR system makes each complete patent file publicly available.
Electronically.
Pursuant to A2A.
A2A is electronically available, right?
Yes, it is electronically available. And I do Well, I would have to double check the web. I think there is a physical reading room.
Right.
That these right.
But,
files
a, but under you would satisfy A2A even if you didn't have a physical reading room.
Yes.
As long as all the stuff in the reading room was electronic.
Exactly. It's a complete file. That's right. The problem for appellant is it is file by file. They don't allow data mining on
but
that data.
What did it mean? What do you mean when they say that it's indexed and open to public inspection?
That there is a way to look up each individual file, that there is a mechanism to retrieve the particular file or data that you're looking for.
Electronically?
Yes.
I mean, if you went to the physical reading room, you'd have to get a librarian or somebody.
I do not know how that's organized, but I think there would be somebody to help.
So my other question is, what were the privacy concerns motivating the removal of the address of the patent?
My understanding, this is again back in 2010, that the
times
that they had to protect the physical street address of the individual inventor. A lot of these inventors, if their home address, unless their patent has been assigned to a company, for example, their home address is what was being produced in this bulk.
Could that action, that was an agency action.
That was just a reorganization.
Could it have been attacked through the administrative review process? Could somebody have said, you can't do that, or it's illegal, or
I don't know because
essentially it's that action that's in front of us today, but we have a FOIA request.
In a sense, except that those addresses are still available pursuant to A2A through the public PAIR system. So somebody who wants to find the inventor's address can certainly find that on the public website. It isn't being produced in this
bulk data product
that companies like appellants can then data mine and send out.
Is there a legal requirement that you produce these bulk documents, or is it just something the agency does?
I'm not aware of a legal requirement.
So there's no argument here that somehow you've deviated from a statutory requirement?
Not that I'm aware of.
Regulatory requirement?
No argument has been made in that regard.
Well, how do you read 823, the format requirement?
A23 would sort of be a different ballgame here. If this were a request under
Well, I mean, let's assume this wasn't public. It's A2, right?
So right.
Let's assume it's not publicly available on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, therefore, you have to comply with this one that produces it in any format
right.
I require. What does format mean? See, our cases that deal with it deal with format in sort of the simplest fashion.
Right.
PDF as opposed to zip or paper.
Right.
If we get to that one, does that require that you format the information in a way or produce it in an electronic format reasonably available to the other side?
Right. Well, I do believe there's terminology that says it has to be readily available. So it would have to be something that the agency could there's the prohibition of creating a record in FOIA. There's no requirement for an agency to compile and create a record for a requester. It's supposed to be the disclosure of existing records. So in terms of formatting, I think there is a sense that the agency should work with the requester and provide it in whatever readily available format that they can.
Yeah, but what do you read the word format to mean? That's my problem. I don't know. From the case law, all I can divine from the word format, because our case involves it, produce it in a zip format for someone.
Right.
But it was a document that already, they were documents that already existed, and they were just being compiled in a particular electronic form. Is there a broader requirement of format that you format information that the agency has in a certain way?
I'm not aware of a broader requirement.
I have two issues in this case that bother me. One is, if you have to make something publicly, if you're denying a request on the grounds that it's publicly available, to me it seems that it must be meaningfully available. Like the public must really actually be able to access it. And if you erect maybe this isn't that big of a barrier, but if you erected barriers that made it impossible for the public to actually have access, then that would not be compliance with FOIA. You agree with that?
Yes.
And you're saying this, they're saying this is like barriers that make it really, I don't know, difficult if not impossible. And you're saying, no, it's actually, you can actually readily access this. And that's what I'm not understanding exactly why it's, they can readily access the information that you have.
Well, I guess it sort of, it also depends on the intent of or the desired need of the requester.
That ties into the second concern I have, which is this case sort of tainted by or turning on the fact that this is a commercial enterprise who wants to use this for business reasons as opposed to just having the information publicly available for people who are concerned about the agencies and have public interest concerns around the agency? I mean, is it tainted by the fact that this is a commercial entity that wants it?
I don't think it's tainted at all. They're being treated as any other requester would be. It's their issue is sort of with the way the information has been presented or formatted. The public PAIR system is a heavily, heavily trafficked database because of all of the patent research going on every day. And it's for that reason they had to put a CAPTCHA system on the database, which prevents data mining, because data mining would bring down this heavily used...
Let me ask the question, I think, in a slightly different way. I've always viewed FOIA as saying, in effect, you have access to all of our records, except the ones that we can exempt, and there's no exemption argument here. And A1 says, and you can comply with that by just making all your records electronically available also.
Yes, A2. Yes.
Is there any requirement in FOIA that you create a record in a certain way?
I am aware of no requirements.
Maybe requirements in the other substantive law that you create records in a certain way. But all FOIA does is essentially say, come in and take whatever we've got.
Our existing records are your existing records, yes. Yes. I think had we gotten into an A3 debate in this case, the record could have been developed to the amount of hours involved and costs that would be associated with creating the product that appellant is seeking here.
If we were in an A3 situation, you might be able to charge him for that creation.
Absolutely. And this the body of records that appellant is seeking, my understanding is it's approximately 2.8 million files from 2002 to present day. That's 2.8 million approximately patent files. So it would be a huge endeavor, is my understanding.
So it's not that you're redacting information? It's there and you're redacting?
As it's been explained to me, they build these data products, and the office, they are not building the data product with the address in it and then stripping it out. They're building the product without the street address in it.
And therefore you have to go to some other electronic available document to find the record. Or the street address.
For a member of the public to currently get the street address, you would have to go into public PAIR. That's where you would find the street address.
You wouldn't have to do that. I mean, you could go on Google and get any one of our street addresses.
Absolutely, yes.
But their problem is that's a rock and not the mountain, if
absolutely.
I can use as an analogy.
Yes, I think that's a fair.
Or just the steering wheel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If there are no further questions, it's our position that on this complaint, as written, the district court had no choice other than to dismiss.
I am concerned. I'm going to just finally state this for the record because I say it every time. I just note that the district court judges in the Central District and the Southern District are more and more frequently not having any arguments in their cases. And it makes it more difficult both for you to come. We have argument in cases they don't have argument in. Mm-hmm. And I think it diminishes the argument and diminishes the record that they have seemed to have ceased doing that, and I wish they would hold more arguments. This case might have benefited from it in particular.
I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
I will give you a couple minutes, go on.
Thank you, Your Honor. I only have one point to make, and I'd like to just address Justice Hurwitz's question.
I have to say there's no justice in the Ninth Circuit. I'm Judge Hurwitz. Okay.
On page 14 of our brief, we cite the...
you lost your justice status.
Yeah. I used to be a justice. I was demoted.
I apologize, Your Honor. on page 14, where I'm going to cite from the legislative history, and it was saying that you should promote greater efficiency in responding to FOIA requests. That includes using technology to let requesters obtain information in the form useful to them. When you combine that with the requirement in 3A, it does, Your Honor, I would suggest that there is an obligation to create something new. Because when you read 3A, it says, the agency shall provide the record in any form or format requested by the person if the record is readily...
Right, and that's why I was asking your colleague that question. I read that as simply saying you should produce the record, a record that the agency has, in a format usable to someone. Yes. It doesn't say one must create a new record. So
well,
I read that as zip, PDF, Word, et cetera.
But let me just reread it one more time. The whole thing, I think...
I've read it. You don't have to reread it.
All right.
So my question is, do you have a case that says A3 or 3 requires them to create a record that didn't exist before?
It says it right on its right on its face.
Okay.
If the record, if
my
it's
my question is, do you have a case that says it?
Not at hand. There may be one in my brief, but again, I'm not able to get out the last three words of that, which is, if the record is readily reproducible by the agency in that format, they've been doing it. Certainly, it's readily reproducible in that format.
But that's why I kept asking your colleague, and I'm asking you, whether there's anything in the case law that elucidates for me what format means, and. Our only case dealing with it deals with the zip format as opposed to the paper format.
Well, certainly my argument is if they've been doing it in that format before, they can do it now. They're readily able to do it. And please, this is the 21st century. These are databases. These aren't physical things that exist. We all want to say, well, was that record that existed? Did they ever make it before? Every time they send it out, they're making it brand new when someone buys it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. The session of the court will be adjourned for today.
Thank you. All right.